very good morning to you, listeners. We are so glad to join you again on this Because He Lives program presented by the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. And of course, sponsored by the Barbados District and Federal Motor Spirits. Indeed, we want to thank the management of Federal Motor Spirits for the generosity in sponsoring this program. We do pray God will continue to bless them as He has been doing through the years. Well, this is Reverend Farley. How are you doing? It is my pleasure to share with you this morning. Of course, last week we focus on the temptations, and today we're going to do the same. We centered our thoughts around the first temptation, where Jesus was challenged to turn stones into bread. And today we want to focus on the second recorded temptation, but we're going to read the full text. So we're reading from the Book of Matthew, chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 1 through 11. I'm using the NIV. Occasionally, I would also use the King James Version as we make references. For then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, King James says, the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that today that you will speak into our lives. Lord, you know all those who are listening today and where they are at, where we are at in our spiritual journey. And for those perhaps who have not even begun the journey, I pray that you would speak into your word, through your word, into our hearts. And may this make a difference, a positive difference. This presentation make a positive difference in our lives. We give you thanks for Christ's sake. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to share with you. As I have said, it is always a pleasure to share the word of God. It's not surely about the Church of a Nazarene. It's not about Reverend Farley or the ministers who come here to share with you. But we are just channels. We want to be used as just channels of the word of God, of the power of God, of the love of God. And this morning is no different. But last week, I focused primarily on the first temptation. But just a general overview, where we know, as we said, of course, this is the Lenten season, and thus our focus on the temptations. Of course, temptations are not restricted through the Lenten season, every day we are tempted. And in many ways, temptations are unavoidable. I am sure you would agree with that. They are unavoidable. We're confronted with temptations every day. Every day. And it doesn't matter who we are, how strong we think we are, or in the faith, or mature, or how weak we think we are. We are all tempted. As Jesus was. And the fact is, if Jesus would submit somebody himself to temptations, but did not yield, of course, what about you? And what about me? So the fact is, nobody is exempted. Nobody is exempted from temptations. But you know, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, if you want to begin from the beginning, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness right after his baptism by John. As I said earlier, reminding us that at least part of his preparation for the ministry came from his wilderness experience. And of course, as one writer says, that quality leaders can almost point to the wilderness experience in their lives as part of their leadership preparation. And during this time, our motives are purified, our backbone solidifies, and our calling gets clarified. The devil tempted Jesus 40 days. And I mean, generally speaking, I'm sure as he waited and connected with God, his Father, 40 days. It was a screening process to see how Jesus would respond and give up, and how he would, what he would give up, I should say, and how he would trust God to provide. And as I said to you earlier, in his book, Henry Nouwen reminds us that the three temptations that Jesus had correspond to temptations that leaders face today, that we all face today, really. The temptation, first one, temptation to be self-sufficient. And Jesus didn't become controlling even with his legitimate needs, but he trusted God. Then the temptation to be spectacular. Or indeed, where his pride came in to contention. Jesus refused to become a so-called stunt man, so to speak, and did not perform in order to become a celebrity or to be spectacular. So the issue of pride there was called into question. In the first instance, the issue of humanity appealed to our humanity, to his humanity. And then thirdly, the third temptation to be powerful, or in many ways appeals to one's lust for power. And the way he challenged power, Jesus to bow down and worship him, and fame, because he challenged and he offered him all the kingdoms of the world, as it were. But Jesus wouldn't take a shortcut to gain power or worship. So these are encapsulate three temptations and what they represent. And I think, as we have said before, Jesus' method in combating the temptations, as he dealt with so-called legitimate needs, and gifting and fame, give us some lessons. Provide some standards for us how we can defeat temptations. And in all three instances, Jesus overcame. And sometimes I believe we may say, well, if God knows that something will tempt us, why does he allow us to be subjected to it? And similarly, you would say, if God knew that Jesus, he knew, in other words, he was the powerful, the all-powerful one, and in the end, he will succeed, why did he carry him through the whole process, so to speak? But I'm sure that the whole activity, the whole account before us in Matthew chapter 4 shows us it's necessary, because it shows us how Jesus responded to the different types of temptation and how we ourselves can respond. The first one, Satan, when after an immediate need, a felt need, Jesus was hungry. And the devil shifted to a deeper question. Would God really protect Jesus if he cast himself down? And finally, he tempted Jesus with the ultimate use of authority. Jesus countered each assault with God's word. Again, that is instructive to us. He didn't argue, as we often would do. We didn't argue, he just answered the enemy by using the word. And Satan tried to attack him by misquoting the scriptures. But Jesus exposed the misrepresentation with a biblical response. So these are general summaries I just want us to embrace and understand. So how Jesus responded can help us to deal with our temptation and temptations that we encounter. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care why he does allow us to go through such temptations, but essentially, God's word provides answers. You remember over in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and this is important for us to understand, that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. But when we are tempted, he also will provide a way out so that we can stand under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So that is a good place to start. That yes, we go through these experiences, but God will provide a way of escape. So let's today zero into the second temptation, recorded temptation. And let us refer to it again just to remind you what it is all about. The second temptation, then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the NIV put it this way, do not put the Lord God to the test. So in this second temptation, we see Jesus rebuking the enemy. The first temptation, Satan was tempted Jesus to misuse his power to perform a miracle and turn stones into bread. In the second temptation, he tried to cause him to perform a miracle, yes, but not necessarily to perform a miracle, but to cast himself, or should I just say, use his power recklessly to throw himself down. Why? He said, if you are, that is a challenge. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So he was, it's his whole idea of proving his identity, his authority, his power. My dear friends, we have to be aware that the devil challenges us often in this area. If you are the Christian that you say you are, If you are the Sunday school teacher, you say you are. If you are the pastor that you say you are. If you are the Christian that you say you are. Do this or do that. But we have to understand. We should understand who we are. We don't have to prove anything to Satan. We know who we are and whose we are. Praise God. We serve a living God, a powerful God, a Father we can trust and we can depend on. So we have to be careful not to allow Satan to manipulate us and use us. We are not his puppets. We are children of the Most High God, a God we can trust, the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, the all-powerful God. Praise God. He is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. This is the God we serve. And we have to declare that and affirm ourselves in the Lord. He is. We understand our relationship we have, the union we have with God. And that we want to have a union that is intimate, not a distant one. As we study his word, as we get close to him, we meditate on his word and we get close to him, we build ourselves up in the word, we know who we are, we know whose we are, and we celebrate that relationship. So we should not allow the enemy, therefore, to tempt us to the point where we question whose we are and who we are. So Jesus was clear when he said, you must not test the Lord your God. Tempt the Lord your God. Both of the terms. The NIV talks about testing God. King James talks about tempting God. And this whole idea of putting God to the test. It's like keep on doing what we know we shouldn't do. Like keep disobeying God and being reckless with our faith. Yes, cast yourself down. Reckless with our faith. In our mission. And like trampling on the grace of God. Because we know that God will forgive us. He's a merciful God. And indeed, in the text referred to, Deuteronomy 6, when Jesus talks about don't test the Lord thy God, that is referenced in Deuteronomy 6:16. And therefore, the whole idea of the Israelites, how they were provided for, God provided for them, provided manna in the desert when they were in need, provided water when they were in need, food when they were in need. He provided for them protection and care. Yet they murmured. Yet they murmured. Yet they complained and they fret. So therefore, the reference there, do not put the Lord to the test. They put the Lord to the test by seeing how far they can go. How far they can go. That's what happens sometimes. And over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul makes reference there as well to the whole idea of persons trying to put God to the test. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul made reference to Old Testament examples. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be aware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and into the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not very pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, or as they were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Now let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Now let us tempt the Lord our God, as some of them tempted and were destroyed, by serpents. Now complain, as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and were written for our admonition. This is important. So we don't want to tempt him. We know what God requires. We don't want to test him, what God expect of us. Let us do it. Let us not trample on the grace of God. And sometimes we know what God is saying to us, but oftentimes we try to still seek advice of friends when we know what the word declares, because we want shortcuts. We want a shortcut. And sometimes it has a lot to do with our pride. Because this second temptation zeroes in and appeals to pride. And oftentimes, that becomes our downfall. And an example of this is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We have the account of David. 1 Chronicles 21. And when you get the chance, you can read it in detail. But it says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them that I may know. Of course, Joab did not agree, but he obeyed the king nevertheless. And God was displeased with this thing, and he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done foolishly. There was not a problem in taking a census, but it is why he took a census. Following a major defeat over the Philistines, King David made a major mistake. The king chose to listen to Satan here again, tempted by the enemy, stopped trusting God for the defense of the nation, and undertook a census for the wrong reason. The motive, you see, the problem was not taking the census, but why he took it. His pride in the growth of the kingdom blinded his judgment. Had his spiritual advisors temporarily left the area? No. But Joab was not in favor of it. Or had David ignored their counsel? Yes, he did. But either way, David failed miserably, as do most leaders do at some point in their journey. But what is interesting, however, is David's willingness to take responsibility for the foolish action he had taken. And that demonstrates character. When we make foolish decisions and find ourselves in a position where, because of fame, we do things That's what fame, because of pride, we do things. But then we should take responsibility for our action. And God, yes, punished him, but had mercy on him. Yes, David repented and accepted punishment from the hand of God, acknowledging the mercy of God and trusting in his grace. Even so, David's error snuffed out the lives of 70,000 Israelites. So our decision, our pride can cause harm to others. When we mess up as leaders, many people can suffer because of our decisions. But in David's case, he did not seek to hide his failures and blame others or run to God, trying to explain himself and rationalize himself. He admitted his failure and repented. Although we face many difficulties, and David worked on restoring his relationship with God. And that is an important point for us to remember. Sometimes we will fail. Sometimes we will fall. But it is critical to recognize where we have fallen once we've given in to the temptation. Pride is a dangerous thing. What we have to understand, putting our trust in God. And how often do we quote that verse from Proverbs chapter 3? How often? Perhaps we quote it so often we forget its importance. But I want to end this session with this verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In other words, don't be full of pride. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. This is still true. Let us not therefore find ourselves in the grips of pride. Let's put our trust in God. And we don't have to live dangerously. We don't have to do something dangerously and heroic to prove God's power and protection. Just trust him. Obey him. And surely we'll bring honor and glory to his name. Enjoy this song then as we close. Trust him.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy. Trust in the Lord.